News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. A Congress MP from Kerala moved the Supreme Court on Monday, challenging the constitutional validity of various provisions of the contentious New Farm Act. T.N. Prathapan, who represents Thrissur Lok Sabha constituency in Kerala, has alleged that the Farmers Empowerment and Protection Agreement of Price Assurance and Farm Services Act 2020 is violative of the right to equality, prohibition of discrimination and right to life and liberty of the Constitution. The law, which provides for contract farming and was accorded presidential assent on Sunday, is liable to be struck down as unconstitutional, illegal and void, Prathapan claimed. As per the government, the new law intends to provide a national framework for farm agreements to protect and empower farmers while engaging with agri and food processing firms, wholesalers, exporters and large retailers for farm services and sale of produce at a remunerative price framework in a fair and transparent manner. Prathapan, in the plea filed through lawyer James P. Thomas, referred to the Agricultural Produce Market Committee Model Act of 2003 and said that it was introduced to fulfill two principles meant to ensure that no farmer is exploited by intermediaries and all food produced is brought to a common market to sell through auction. Without APMC acting as a protective shield around the farmers, the market would ultimately fall to the corporate greed of multinational companies who are more profit-oriented and have no care for the conditions of the poverty-stricken farmers who are dependent on farming for their livelihood, the plea said. The APMC deterred the exploitation of farmers by providing minimum support price, which guarantees that the farmer who comes to the APMC would not leave empty-handed, it said. Indian agriculture is characterized by fragmentation due to small holdings and has certain inherent weaknesses beyond control, such as dependence on weather, uncertainties in production, and an unpredictable market. This makes agriculture risky and inefficient in respect of both input and output management, the plea said. It said the challenges faced by farmers, such as dependence on weather, cannot be addressed by monetization of their produce to increase their income, instead of strengthening the APMC system by infusing more capital and effective management of MSP. The plea said that the common man, agriculture and the Indian economy are umbilical to one another. The promotion of agreements for farming produce will weaken the process of monetization as per the current structure of the Act. Through the provisions mentioned in the above noted Act, de-risking of agriculture as claimed by the government at various stages is wrong on the analysis of the provisions enacted, it said. The petition challenged the constitutionality of various sections of the farm law. Some parts of the country have been witnessing farmer protests on the issue in view of the alleged apprehension that the law would pave a way for the dismantling of the minimum support price system, leaving them at the mercy of big companies. Three of Apple Incorporated's top contract manufacturers plan to invest a total of almost $900 million in India in the next 5 years to tap into a new production-linked incentive plan, according to two sources familiar with the matter. Foxconn, Wistron and Pegatron all plan to make investments under the scheme, said the sources, who asked not to be named as the discussions are private. India's new $6.65 billion production-linked incentive scheme offers companies cash incentives on any increase in sales of locally made smartphones over the next 5 years, compared with 2019-20 levels. The scheme aims to help transform India into an export manufacturing hub. Foxconn has applied to invest about 40 billion rupees, while Wistron and Pegatron have committed to invest close to 13 billion rupees and 12 billion rupees respectively under the PLI plan, the sources said. It is unclear whether all of the investment will be targeted at boosting manufacturing of Apple devices in India, but the sources and industry insiders said the vast majority would be focused on expanding iPhone manufacturing in the country. Foxconn said that as a matter of policy, it did not comment on specific operations or work for any customer. Apple, Wistron, Pegatron, and India's Technology Ministry, which formulated the PLI scheme, did not respond to emails seeking comment. While Foxconn, Pegatron, and Wistron make devices for companies other than Apple globally, Wistron's arm in India currently assembles only iPhones. Wistron, which assembles roughly 200,000 second-generation iPhone SEs per month in India, plans to scale that up to 400,000 a month by the end of the year, one of the sources said, as it looks to cater to export demand for the device. That plan is expected to create roughly 10,000 jobs, the source added. Pegatron is yet to start Indian operations but has been in talks with several states, with Tamil Nadu in the south emerging as a frontrunner for a planned plant to manufacture Apple devices, a third source said. Foxconn, which also assembles devices for Xiaomi in India, already has enough capacity to meet Xiaomi's needs and is likely to use the PLI plan largely to boost iPhone production, a fourth source said. The commitments would help Apple diversify its supply chain beyond China, which is locked in a trade war with the United States. U.S. President Donald Trump paid just $750 in federal income taxes the year he ran for president and in his first year in the White House, according to a report in the New York Times. Trump, who has fiercely guarded his tax filings and is the only president in modern times not to make them public, paid no federal income taxes in 10 of the past 15 years. The details of the tax filings published on Sunday complicate Trump's description of himself as a shrewd and patriotic businessman, revealing instead a series of financial losses and income from abroad that could come into conflict with his responsibilities as president. The president's financial disclosures indicated he earned at least $434.9 million in 2018, but the tax filings reported a $47.4 million loss. The tax filings also illustrate how a reputed billionaire could pay little to nothing in taxes, while someone in the middle class could pay substantially more than him. Roughly half of Americans pay no income taxes, primarily because of how low their incomes are. But IRS figures indicate that the average tax filer paid roughly $12,200 in 2017, about 16 times more than what the president paid. The disclosure, which the Times said comes from tax return data it obtained extending over two decades, comes at a pivotal moment ahead of the first presidential debate on Tuesday and weeks before a divisive election against Democrat Joe Biden. Speaking at a news conference on Sunday at the White House, Trump dismissed the report as fake news and maintained he has paid taxes, though he gave no specifics. He also vowed that information about his taxes will all be revealed, but he offered no timeline for the disclosure and made similar promises during the 2016 campaign, on which he never followed through. In fact, the president has fielded court challenges against those seeking access to his returns, including the U.S. House, which is suing to get Trump's tax returns as part of congressional oversight. During his first 2 years as president, Trump received $73 million from foreign operations, which, in addition to his golf properties in Scotland and Ireland, included $3 million from the Philippines, $2.3 million from India, and $1 million from Turkey, among other nations. The president in 2017 paid $145,400 in taxes in India and $156,824 in the Philippines, compared to just $750 in U.S. income taxes. The Times said the tax records did not reveal any unreported connections to Russia. Royal Challengers Bangalore beat Mumbai Indians in a thrilling Super Over contest in the Indian Premier League on Monday after the match was tied during the regulation 20 overs. In the Super Over, Navdeep Saini conceded only 7 runs and RCB skipper Virat Kohli hit Jasprit Bumrah for a boundary of the final delivery to win it for his team. Chasing a target of 202, Mumbai Indians managed 201 for 5 after Ishan Kishan, 99 off 58 balls, and Kyron Pollard, 60 off 24 balls, nearly pulled off an incredible chase but could manage 8 of the required 19 runs in the last over. When RCB batted, half centuries from AB de Villiers, Aaron Finch and Devdutt Padikkal propelled them to 201 for 3 after being put into bat. De Villiers scored 55 of 24 balls while Finch 52 of 35 balls and Padikkal 54 of 40 balls also contributed handsomely. For MI, Trent Bolt got 2 for 34 and Rahul Chahar got the other wicket. Right everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.